cost of war from start to finish.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. America's role in the war in Afghanistan is starting to wind down. That's the word from President Obama, who said last night during his speech in Afghanistan that the goal is for Afghan forces to lead combat operations by next year.
Last year, we removed 10,000 U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Another 23,000 will leave by the end of the summer. After that, reductions will continue at a steady pace with more and more of our troops coming home.
As for cost savings from the planned drawdown, well, we asked Mark Jacobson, a former NATO representative to Afghanistan, who's now a fellow at the German Marshall Fund. He says, sure, the U.S. will save money on combat operations,
but it's also going to cost a significant amount of money to bring our troops out and bring their equipment out. So I don't expect that we're going to see some sort of savings spike that could be reinvested within the Department of Defense, much less the rest of the federal government.
As of last year, by the way, according to the Congressional Research Service, the total cost of 10 years of war in Afghanistan has been $443 billion. Well, here in this country, we'll get some indication this morning on how the housing market is doing. The Mortgage Bankers Association tells us how many people are applying for new mortgages or refinancing their old ones. Another way to gauge the health of the housing market, of course, is to check one of those websites like Zillow to see how much your own house is worth. But as Marketplace's Bob Moon reports, there are questions about the reliability of those sites.
Spend any time combing through the big home listing websites, and some of the properties might ring a bell in more ways than one. Maybe the same home is pictured multiple times with different prices or conflicting descriptions. Or perhaps the listing is so old the home has long since been sold. Jim Abbott runs a San Diego real estate firm. He says he recently heard from clients complaining their house was still online 10 months after closing escrow.
You know, we have people coming to the front door frequently, peeking in our windows.
All the inaccurate listings, he says, are skewing pricing perceptions among both sellers and buyers, and that, he claims, might even be slowing the housing recovery.
Telling the public there are 3 to 4 times as many properties on the market than there actually are, you're giving them the false sense of this huge inventory.
Abbott is so convinced his sales are being hurt, he recently pulled his listings from 3 leading websites, Zillow, Trulia, and Realtor.com. But Zillow CEO Spencer Raskoff told us that decision will only hurt Abbott's own clients.
A seller has got to be completely nuts to list their home with a listing agent that wasn't going to put their home on the biggest websites in their city.
Raskoff insists Zillow is extremely focused on listings quality. Zillow says it gathers listings through hundreds of sources, from national listing services to broker websites. Then it uses a kind of secret sauce computer algorithm to weed through the data.
Obviously, it serves our business interest to satisfy our consumers, and our consumers demand accurate listings. That's why we're focused on it.
Hobie Hanna is a real estate executive in Ohio. He agrees with Abbott that the websites need to be more accurate. But rather than pull his listings, Hanna is trying a different tactic. He recently made a deal to advertise on Zillow, and in return, he controls the information posted for his properties. Hanna says customers want their listings everywhere.
If you're trying to sell your house in today's market, your attitude is expose it to as many places. I want to get my house sold. I don't want it to be the secret house that nobody knows is for sale.
Anna says whether real estate agents like it or not, they're no longer the only place to go to find a home. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up about 0.5% in Frankfurt, about 1/3% higher in Tokyo. Facebook has apparently figured out a date for its initial public offering, May 18th. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 65 points to close at 13,279. That is the highest close for the Dow since December 28, 2007. But shares of the nutritional supplement company Herbalife plunged yesterday because of some comments by a powerful hedge fund manager on a conference call. I guess when you're a powerful hedge fund manager, you gotta watch what you say.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Executives from the online TV site Hulu are in New York today, along with their counterparts from Yahoo, YouTube, and AOL, selling their content to advertisers. The event is called the Digital Upfronts, an alternative to the traditional TV upfronts. But as Sally Herships reports from New York, a site like Hulu is no longer the alternative to cable it once was.
Did you cancel your cable subscription because you can watch Hulu for free? Too bad. You may have to start paying for cable TV again.
Fox is already doing this.
Todd Spangler is technology editor for Multichannel News.
The episode of House that aired on Monday, you can't get it free on Hulu until the 8th of May.
But subscribers to Dish Satellite TV don't have to wait, and they can watch shows on Hulu for free. Spangler says TV companies need to keep viewers paying. Otherwise, cable companies might tell them,
hey, you're throwing all your stuff out there for free. Why should I pay you anything?
Sam Craig is a media expert at NYU's Stern School of Business. He says content providers have two options, increasing prices or selling more ads.
If you sell more ad time, you increase the clutter. It becomes less desirable as a watching experience for consumers. And so you're ultimately between a rock and a hard place.
Which is why content on Hulu may not always be free. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally to San Francisco, where residents on Chenery Street are a bit puzzled. They've apparently started getting tickets for not turning their wheels on their cars toward the curb as they park, as is typically required on hills. The residents are puzzled because they don't think they live on a hill, especially by San Francisco standards. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the reason they're getting the tickets is either a desperate search for cash by the city or perhaps a rogue parking attendant. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.